Now remember, according to the science of mind, we believe that evolution was affected by intelligence. Different than what most of the world believes. Most of the world believes that intelligence was the effect of evolution. Okay? Major difference here. It's major, and it's significant to who you are every day of the week, because who you are and how you apply yourself to life through your decision making and through the activity of your mind and how you apply your mind affects the total outcome of your life. And so, otherwise, if we didn't think that, we'd always be stuck where we were. Have you ever learned a new skill that you didn't think you could learn? You know, you learned a language that maybe you thought you'd never learn. You learned how to play an instrument you thought maybe originally that you didn't think you'd learn. Okay? That is because you made a decision and the intelligence of your mind affected how you thought, and then you evolved according to your decision. Now, initially, the reptilian brain is the part of our brain that was purely reactionary. It is your motor function. It is your fight or flight. It is what happened. It is what we needed when we were not as much of a civilized. Although that's a little hard to say right now, in light of what's going on. And I don't mean to even be funny about that. But at a time when we weren't civilized, when it's the same thing where animals live. It's pure reactionary. It is the functioning of your body. And then we developed the next one, which is the limbic brain. Okay? Now, here in the limbic brain, we started actually to develop some emotions. This is where our emotions got created. So now what happens is, knowing that they never work totally independently of each other, they work together. So we start to have opinions about things. At some point, we started to have opinions. Emotional, though, more gut reactionary. And then we developed, now we're talking about millions of years, we developed our neocortex. The neocortex, being the largest part of your brain and the newest part of your brain, is good and sometimes not so good. It's good because it's the part of your brain that you use in order to think and to choose and to be more. It is the way that we are able to fully communicate. Unfortunately, it's also the way you talk yourself in and out of your good. It's also the way you fool yourself. It is also misapplied logic sometimes, because the limbic, the reptilian, and the neocortex do not function independently of each other, and they flow in and out of each other. The use of it flows in and out of each other. So what happens is, you have a gut reaction to something, and then you have an emotional reaction, and then you may have an opinion about it. But you haven't noticed that sometimes things go in that order, that you have it, you know, first it's a very physical reaction. Okay? And then what happens is we begin to tell a story about this reaction. So where this all ties in, though, with the imagination, and the imagination comes from this part of your brain, the neocortex. Then your imagination loosened is how you generate new ideas. It's how you generate possibility. One of the best teachers, who just spoke about Neville? Oh, Elaine, right. It's Neville, he was a gentleman from the West Indies. He's been gone for quite some time now, but he was from the West Indies and had a very, very different take. He considers the imagination as some would consider God, that element, that aspect of us, that essence. That's how much credit he gives to the imagination. And so he says, and this is in his book of Resurrection, and hopefully we have some of these. But do we have these? Or we do good. We also have Awakened Imagination written by Neville and another person that you want to have. He says, prayers are not successfully made unless there is unless there is rapport between the conscious and subconscious mind of the operator. This is through imagination and faith. By the power of imagination, all men / women, certainly imaginative men / women, are forever casting forth enchantments. And all people, especially imaginative people, are continually passing under the power. So what happens is what this is saying is that for those of us who are conscious of it and using it, we are not only having an imagining, we are having an imagining that when it's connected with our faith and our conviction and our belief system gets activated and begins to draw unto itself its reality. You with me? So it's not something left just for little kids. This is a very powerful way to utilize your thinking. And he said, goes on to say, imagination and faith are the only faculties of the mind needed to create objective conditions. You hear that? Listen how definite he is. Imagination and faith are the only faculties of mind needed to create objective conditions. Once again, I say to you that he considers imagination at the same level. And for him, it's probably synonymous with the word God or spirit or life or energy, any of the other terms that we use to describe that creative power. The faith required for the successful operation of the law of consciousness is purely subjective faith and is attainable upon the cessation of active opposition on the part of the objective mind of the operator. What he's saying is stop thinking in linear ways. Stop thinking that, I love one slide up there, I don't know if you caught it, from Einstein, and he says, logic will get you from A to B. Your imagination will get you the rest of the way, or get you anywhere. And imagination is not a term that I've talked about enough for a while, though there's always so many things to talk about. We kind of rotate things back into the theme over time because it's just so much to talk about. But it is the way you loosen who you are. One other thing I want to read. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. It is not a strong will that sends a subjective word on its mission, so much as it is clear thinking and feeling the truth of the state affirmed. When belief and will are in conflict, belief invariably wins. Get that? When belief and will are in conflict, belief invariably wins because belief hovers in that place in us of the feeling side of us. And so what happens is this speaks to, and we've talked about this a lot over the past few months, we've spoken to the fact that sometimes we're trying to have a logical, we're trying to make a logical decision about what we want to change in our lives. You've decided you want to exercise or you want to take off weight or you want to have a new job. So you make a logical decision. But what happens is if you are making this decision and wanting this new thing, if what is underneath you is a belief that you're not worthy of the change or that you're not capable of the change, you can do this belief all day long. This is what wins out. Because we wind up having more of a feeling experience through our belief system and through our faith and through our imagination than we do through our thinking. So the neocortex, where it is good because you get to have a real logical way of deciding to not be fearful. I mean, face it, if a caveman, which what's the proper term? Neanderthal, thank you. Couldn't get it out right then. If a Neanderthal got dropped right now here and looked out and saw the cars and heard the planes overhead, it would freak out. He would freak out, right? Because he doesn't have the neocortex developed enough to logically not be fearful. You and I have enough logic to choose not to be in fear, even though very often fear might be a tendency of ours. But here's the thing about the brain. Whether that which is happening, if a bear comes at us, right? Your brain, if I put you in a state of hypnosis or a state of imagination or a guided imagination, just like we just did, and I talk to you and I describe the bear for you and you follow me in my description, your body has the potential of having the same fearful reaction as if a real bear would suddenly be here. See, your body reacts and it doesn't need the reality. It doesn't need the reality. Your body reacts according to how we catch its attention. So, homes, I mean, all of your current teachers, your contemporary teachers, we are sophisticated now in our understanding. We have learned enough now to know how to use the brain and our thinking in a more productive way. But we have known this for eons of time. You want to create change? You daydream the change. You daydream it. You have it be the last thought you think before you go to sleep at night. Now, it doesn't have to always be something regarding form. It doesn't have to be about imagining a new home, although that's a perfectly fine thing. Matter of fact, that's a great example that they use all the time. People like Wallace Wattles and Napoleon Hill and all of them have talked about how to utilize the imagination and a mastermind idea in order to incite the vibration in each of us to demonstrate something new, okay? But the best time to let your imagination run wild with what you want is before you go to sleep at night. The worst time in the world to worry is before you go to sleep at night. The worst time to have a worried thought about your kids, about your finances, about your health, is before you're going to sleep. Because there is a time, there is a vibration, and now we're talking about brain function. There's a brain function time there that is totally receptive to that which you plant in it. You, if you are a diligent metaphysician, if you are in any way awake, you will utilize that time before you go to sleep by listening to something empowering, by listening to music at least that will cleanse your mind, catch your attention so you don't get caught in worry. Whatever you do, you must think high and productive thoughts at that time because that's what then enters your sleep. Are you with me? I mean, there are sometimes that I love my iPhone. There are sometimes simply through my iPhone, I'll listen to a podcast from here. I'll listen to a podcast from somewhere else so that I know that the message that I'm getting right as I go to sleep is something that is empowering, inspiring, and uplifting. Because I want that to enter the world of my imagination and my dream world. I want that. Are you with me? Be smart about how you use your time. Be really smart about it. I have a couple of this is from Reverend Joel's collection of quotes. And this is Wallace, do I have them both? Oh, I have two quotes from Wallace D. Wattles. He says, guard your speech. Never speak of yourself, your affairs, or of anything else in a discouraged or a discouraging way. Got that? Never, never admit the possibility of failure or speak in a way that infers failure as a possibility. Got that? Never. Never speak of times as being hard or of business conditions as being doubtful. Never. Never. This is definite language. Times may be hard and business doubtful for those who are on the competitive plane, but they can never be so for you. You can create what you want, and you are above fear. If you remain awake and if you choose to. If you choose to. If you use your imagination and your conscious mind and your thinking productively. To think, this is another Wallace D. Wattles quote, to think health when surrounded by the appearances of disease, or to think riches when in the midst of appearances of poverty, requires power. But he who acquires this power becomes a mastermind, a master thinker. He can conquer fate. He can have what he wants. It is absolutely imperative that we utilize our thinking wisely. For those of you who might still be parents or grand, or if you're grandparents and the school is saying to you about your child, they're always daydreaming, you say to them, good. Good. Because that's where they are on that creative edge. That's where they touch creativity. That's where it is. We have unfortunately drugged our children into paying attention like robots. When you are in that creative flow and you are allowing your imagination to take over, this is what you have to know. All of your imagining is consistently being, is power is sourced through that imagination on a consistent basis. Remember, was it last week I did the demonstration with the painting? Okay. So remember that how I tried to point out that every brush stroke had power in it, and eventually it created a portrait. Well, mine wasn't quite a portrait, but you know what I mean. But so the vibration of our imagination is consistently adding to the totality of who we are. It is fun to let loose. It is good to let loose. It is good to not be in that linear right brain, left brain thinking all the time. They both have purpose. So those of you, those accountants in the room, and those of you who are really good on that side, some of the things that you can do if you don't know how to be loose is, and this sounds crazy, but this is what they'll tell you to do, use your left hand. When you go out for lunch today or you go out for brunch afterwards, use your left hand to feed yourself. Use your left hand to write. Open up the space of creativity. Ask yourself, how can you do something different? Break patterns. How do you break a pattern? Do you go from here to home the same way every week? Anybody raise your hand if you go home the same way every week? Change the way you go. There are new roads. Do you put on the same sock every day? Or the right, the left or the right? Do you put on the same sock every time you put on your socks? Come on, raise your hand if you do that. No? All right. If you do, put on the other sock first. Do you eat your food in the same order? Break patterns. Spark your imagination by breaking patterns so that you just get almost to a little bit of discomfort. Because in that place of discomfort, you start to think outside the box. You start to think outside the lines. That is where creativity and evolution meet you. You with me? That is where creativity and evolution meet you. It is through your imagination. Ask a child, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do they say? 5 different things all at one time. Right? They want to be ballerinas, and they want to be the president, and they want to be an astronaut, which we really don't have anymore. I think they're calling them something else now. They want to be whatever they liken themselves to be without any restriction. But someplace, someone started to say to you, you have to choose. You have to choose what school you're going to go to. You have to matriculate. Right? And so we started getting more and more and more serious, and we had less of a hold on our imagination because someone told us it was childish. Well, it might have been, but what we're looking to be is childlike, loose in our way of being. Do things differently than you've done them before. Yes? Are you willing to try? If nothing else, for the summer, since we're doing summer fun, and it's pretty hysterical looking out and seeing some of you men with these hot orange lace, so thank you for playing with us. It's so much fun. I noticed only the men, no, Pat has one on her, but only the men right now, the rest of only the men, that which is a very good break in patterns, have these lays on them. And you should bring your lays when you come on Sunday. I know everybody has one at home, right? They're all at the dollar store. Pick them up at the dollar store. Loosen your hold. Let the summer be your time of trial. Drive a different way. Eat different food. Eat with your left hand. Or if you're lefty, eat with your right hand. Try drawing with your left hand. Try speaking a different language, even if you don't know it. I remember when I was little, my niece and I, who she's a little bit older than I can remember, we always wanted to speak another language, but neither one of us did. So we would just sit, we'd be at the carnival on a ride with other people, and we would just make stuff up. Just make it up. Do you? You do that now? Oh, you used to? Okay, I was going to say otherwise. Now it's called, I'm sure there's a name for it. Insanity, yes. Be somewhat insane in a very sane way. Yes? You experiment? Okay. So let us take this into prayer. Let's take this into treatment. So if you will, hold the hand of your neighbor if you're willing to. Please, if you will, connect with somebody. Let no one be alone in this moment. God knows it's community that gives us such satisfaction so often. Let us know together right now that there is one power, one presence, one essence of good. It is good. It is glorious. It is truly magnificent. It is the ebb and flow of life. It is the ebb and flow of creativity and imagination. It is the ebb and flow of vibration of true magnificence in and through us. I know right now for each of us that we begin to lose the hold of restriction of our thinking, that we open up. We make room for possibility. We make room for the adventure. We make room for the newness that is always here because the infinite is always trying to source itself. The same genius that Galileo used, the same genius that Einstein used, that genius is still here and it is always seeking expression. And so we each say yes. I am willing to be used. I'm willing to be known. I'm willing to be recognized. I am willing to be brilliant. And I'm willing to excite this brilliance through my imagination. I am willing to be childlike and enter the kingdom of my imagination like a child. Sweet and free and available. I'm willing to allow this to be so. At the level of the conscious, at the level of the subconscious, I know that I am in sync with possibility, and my full potentiality as a fully expressed human is here right now. I call this good and very good. I surrender this word into law, and I trust it to be so. Please close with me by saying, and so it is.